And good afternoon. Welcome to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, with you. And back on the phone with me is Dr. Nick Neupower. Of course, with BC3, Dr. Neupower, it seems like it was just yesterday that I talked to you. It's been a while now, a couple of months.
Yeah. One thing with this COVID situation, we are certainly losing track of time, and it is always good to speak to you and to reach out to your fantastic listeners.
Now, have you had a break? And I ask that honestly, because you mentioned this time that we're living, it just seems to flow from one day into another. Have you had a moment or two to take a break? Did you get to take a day off or two, or are you just rolling right into the next semester?
That's nice of you to ask. We did have a family vacation with my brother's family. We're able to get away for a week. It actually seems like that was about 3 or 4 months ago as opposed to about 3 weeks ago. Otherwise, just like everybody else in this new COVID-19 world, hitting it hard. I will say a difference from one of the early conversations that we had is that I now have a campus presence. And through about May 30th, from March 11th through about May 30th, I, just like most other people at the college, were working in a remote capacity. We still do have some folks who are working in a remote capacity, but there's definitely a greater presence of individuals on all BC3 campus locations.
It's interesting in how we work at home, and I was in the same position for quite some time and may still be in that position, but when you get back to the office, it feels odd for the first couple of days, doesn't it, just to be back in that environment?
It does, and ironically, I think the work pace and the workflow is better in the office than it is at home.
And some say at home, some say at the office. It's just an interesting time that we live to figure out how we do this from day to day. Let me ask you, though, how was commencement? I know that was planned to be outdoors.
It was fantastic. We have a saying here that the sun always shines at BC3, although on that particular Saturday it did rain a bit. But we had about 100 students who participated, graduates, I should say, of BC3, with their families and their cars. Campus looked absolutely spectacular. We had a number of volunteers. We utilized technology to introduce students to speeches by individuals. It was so well received. People were so appreciative of everything that we did to make that a very special day. I will often say that the most important asset that we have at the college is our students. And on that particular day, we paid great respect with admiration for these students who graduated with their degree from the Butler County Community College.
So now we are on top of your new semester, already into August, and you're right around the corner from beginning the first day of this fall semester. How do you feel about that? How do your students feel about that?
We have individuals who are more or less voting with their feet or registering with their feet, and I say that in the most respectful of ways because it correlates, I think, to a lot of different opinions that are out there. And actually, it also correlates to how our fantastic faculty members feel going forward with the fall semester. We surveyed our faculty, gave them the opportunity for what we're calling hybrid courses, which would be our lab-type courses where you do the lecture at home and then you come to campus for the lab. You have a remote learning opportunity, which isn't quite online, but it leans in that direction. Basically, it is not the face-to-face model. Of course, there is a face-to-face model, and we have entirely online. And when I've looked at the numbers in each of those types of offerings, we have not only faculty who are comfortable in teaching in each, but also students who are comfortable taking classes in each. I think that we've done a phenomenal job of addressing the safety concerns, whether it be the appropriate signage, the appropriate cleaning materials, staffing, what have you. We feel very prepared for the start of the semester. Of course, that doesn't mean that we're foolproof whenever it comes to something in this unique coronavirus situation. We're eager. We're launching things such as our part-time faculty orientation this evening. We have our convocation, which will be next week. Both are being done in a remote capacity. We've brought the capacity of our non-instructional staff along with our instructional staff down to, I would say 35% would be a very good number. So we've taken all the precautionary measures. So overall, there's great excitement, but there is a little bit of apprehension once we hit that first day of classes.
May I ask about masks? There are a lot of opinions out there. And so when I ask about masks, what are you hearing from people? Do they want to wear them? Do they not want to wear them? Or are you requiring them?
We will be requiring students. As a matter of fact, we'll be publishing our fall operating plan in this new COVID-19 world. We have connections to the Department of Education, the governor, the Department of Health. We have local connections to our county commissioners. Butler Health Systems have been a great asset for us during this particular period of time. And we are requiring masks. We have classrooms that are set up with the appropriate social distancing. We will have safety kits in each of the classrooms. We believe that there is a bit of a norm now that in this new COVID-19 world that individuals will come with their own PPE, but just in case, we will make masks available for our faculty and staff, the possibility of shields in certain offices. We do have the barriers that are put up. So in all of the conversations and investigation, we feel very well prepared for the start of the semester.
Obviously, high schools are a different environment than colleges, and of course, colleges differ from each location. But in the high schools right now, of course, temperature checks is a conversation. Has that been something that you had to take into consideration as you're going into the fall? Or is BC3 a little different because you are a community college and the plans that you have set up may take care of that? Do you have to consider temperature checks?
Yes, but we will be considering temperature checks if there is a confirmed case on campus. And that is consistent with the interpretation that we're getting from all those different agencies, mostly governmental, in which we are following. We also, interestingly enough, ironically enough, we've had our own contact tracing for a couple of situations that we had in the spring semester. So we feel confident in that model. And again, this has been validated by appropriate external sources, including our great colleagues at Butler Health Systems. There are a lot of variables that go into play whenever we put the priority of our faculty, staff, students, and visitors to our campus, that emphasis on safety. And we think that we've done a very good job with this plan that we'll be rolling out very soon.
What is the contingency plan then if you get a case or two versus if there are a great number of cases that end up, whether it be in Butler County or at BC3?
We are analyzing data from the different counties in which we serve. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of dashboards that we're paying attention to. One, I believe, was recently put out through the K through 12 market. And while we are part of the Pennsylvania Department of Ed, and there are definitely some instances where there's overlap with what's going on in the K-12. We are not a K-12, but the dashboard, as an example, is something that we are following. We do have contingencies if we have a case that would include contact tracing, letting folks know. Frankly, we did that in a couple of instances in the spring semester, and I think just like whether it be Major League Baseball, or perhaps what's happening with college football, let's say in an absolute worst-case scenario that there is a significant spike in numbers here, then we're set up a whole lot better than we were in the spring. And what I mean by that is we had a number of face-to-face classes in the spring that very quickly we were able to change over to a remote capacity. Because we have about, let's say, 35% of our classes in a face-to-face capacity, if we had to pivot quickly, it would probably be about half of what we had to do in the spring semester. The fact that we've already done that in the spring semester in a worst-case scenario, I think would help with a quick conversion. So we're hoping we don't get there, but we think based on the plan that we have in place, and what happened in the spring semester that we would be ready.
Have you had to give guidance to any instructors in having a contingency plan for those instructors that would typically have their students on campus for things like labs? Like you said, there are some classes that that's kind of necessary. And if you were to go into a complete remote learning situation, did you have to give guidance to any professors, or are the instructors themselves making their contingency plans in case that would happen?
I think we're unusual in the fact that we allowed our faculty to select the teaching modality in which they felt most comfortable with. We worked very closely with faculty leadership in allowing us to go forward with that survey. So we believe that we have an advantage just by the fact that it's not a top-down decision, that this was a decision that could be made by the individual. In moving forward with the fall semester, I believe that that is an advantage that we have. We have been very strategic in not putting plans out too early. Now, there are some folks that think that we should have our plans posted earlier than what we do, but the very reason for that is because these change sometimes daily, and it's a very fluid situation. So rather than publish something and then have to backtrack and basically rescind what it is that we put out there, we're waiting for the appropriate time, and our fall operating plan will be put out literally within days for the upcoming semester. We have done a great job of communicating with our internal audiences. That would not only be faculty and staff, but also students. That is through constant communication, whether it be through recordings, emails. I believe that we're continuing our tradition of paying attention to our internal audience first, because internally, if folks don't know what's going on, then how in the world would external folks be able to respond? There have been some unique situations, and those unique situations we're handling on a case-by-case basis. It is our opinion that if you consider every what-if situation in your plan, that is actually a worse spot to be in than handling and evaluating these case-by-case situations. As the semester gets closer, there are some case-by-case situations that will work their way to me, and then I will kick it to the appropriate point person here on campus. And literally within the last 24 hours, there have been a couple of those situations. But we do a fantastic job of handling those case-by-case situations. And if it is unique enough where we think that it's something that could emerge as a theme across campus, then that's something that we would update our operating plan with.
You do well in communicating to your audience, if you will, and you connect very effectively. And in this time, I think that's very important, because I think a lot of us are operating on information overload. And then, as you mentioned, information changes within 10 minutes or the next hour, and it can be fatiguing. So I appreciate the fact that you're keeping that information close to the date whenever you would like to release it. And I appreciate you sharing here as well on what your plans are as you go forward. One more question about some plans on campus. How about your community areas that typically, as we've talked about before, in college, you like just to sit around and do your work on the couch that's sitting out in the community area? Are those off limits right now? Are you trying to have people not gather on campus more than they have to?
We are using some of our larger spaces on campus, such as Founders Hall and even the theater, to accommodate classes, especially our nursing cohort. You know that we've increased our nursing enrollment through a lot of very unique partnerships and collaborations that we have with organizations. And so we're taking away some of the community space that we have on campus and focusing on the appropriate social distancing for our students. We are not going forward with the same food services model for the fall semester. As a matter of fact, right before this phone call, I was talking with a colleague of mine about that particular model. We do need to have some space for our students in between classes. So even though that the face-to-face enrollment might be running at a 35% capacity compared to a traditional face-to-face semester, it could be that at 9 o'clock, Johnny has a face-to-face class, and then at 10:10, Johnny will be taking an online or a remote class. my understanding that our remote classes are mostly synchronous. So that basically means that you're taking the remote class utilizing different types of technology, but you're taking it at 10:10, as opposed to our online courses, which are asynchronous, which you can pretty much check in at any time of the day. So our students do need to have the appropriate space on campus for those type of situations. We're converting our Pioneer Cafe to space for our students, even lab space for our students with some technology in there. Of course, we have the Heat and Family Learning Commons and other pretty cool nooks and crannies here that we have in our respective buildings on campus that will be able to accommodate those students.
Dr. Nick Neupower, of course, with us, Butler County Community College. And one more question that I want to switch gears on us. Those in your position have never had to do this before. And I'm wondering if you could address that in how you're handling it. How are you doing in this? I think the educational field right now is in a no-win situation. No matter what they decide, it's just difficult. And there are a lot of opinions, like you mentioned before, coming in. There are a lot of situations that people live right now that it's hard to accommodate everyone. So speak to that, if you would, for just a moment, in those that are in your position trying to make these decisions.
The late Ray Steffler, our longtime board chair, talked about the significance of longevity in leadership positions. So I've been at this since 2007, and our executive team has been together for a few, and in most cases, several years. We have a phenomenal board of trustees. And I had mentioned to a colleague, president, maybe in the position for about 7 years. These gigs are hard enough in general. Could not imagine being a new president and figuring out your internal staff, your executive team, the board, the communities in which you serve. So I believe that we're an advantage here at Butler County Community College because there is longevity in the leadership positions. Notice that I'm saying positions plural, not just the position of president. It also very much correlates to a strong board of trustees. And to be honest with you, a strong group of county commissioners who believe in our community college appoint our excellent board of trustees, and we're in constant communication with them. I think that gives us an advantage over a lot of public institutions. Not that those public institutions where you have some new folks in different seats, not that that automatically means that they will fail. I think it just might be a little bit more difficult as opposed to institutions and organizations that have longevity and stability at the top of their organization. And that does include a board of directors, or in our case, a board of trustees.
A lot of information to digest, and I do, again, appreciate you sharing it with us. It's information that we have to take in and process, and we just get to sigh over it for a moment or two. So I want to switch directions before I let you go, Dr. Neupower, because I want to end on something that we can really smile about and applaud. And I've been reading on your website and, of course, in news stories that we've been doing about multiple people, two or three of them, that have been younger individuals that have come around to BC3 and said, hey, I'd like to put something together in the way of a scholarship. Have you been seeing this more and more? What's the drive behind that?
Great question, and I really believe the drive. And I think in one of our earlier conversations we talked about this, is that for as much as I hear negative about the millennials and the Gen Zers, this is a clear example of what millennials and Gen Zers and how it is that they think. They believe in paying it forward. They might not have the resources of the baby boomers or the Gen Xers, at least at this time, but no matter what the amount, or even if it would consist of a larger percentage of their take-home pay, as an example, then those older generations who will be able to give. It is about giving back for these millennials and these Gen Zs. And we've had a number of cases, as you pointed out, of that happening here at Butler County Community College. People in the community, no matter if it is a Mr. Heaton, Mr. Schaefer, Mrs. Larrick, the Wise family, I mean, you name it, individuals in the community claim this college as their own. They claim it as the community's college, And frankly, they believe so much in the mission, vision, and strategic plan of the college is that they donate large sums of money. Ruth Purcell, our executive director of the BC3 Education Foundation, talks about, you know, the amount is certainly important, but also the act. And it doesn't necessarily matter what the dollar amount is, but when people exhibit the behavior of giving to the BC3 Education Foundation to help with capital projects, scholarships, what have you, that's really symbolic of our role in the community. And for these young graduates of BC3 to move forward with that concept, it is absolutely awesome. It's very humbling. And I think speaks to our strength that no matter what the demographic is, people believe in BC3.
I just want to give a tip of the hat to Lindsay Walter, 24, Allegheny County. She was the latest, I say young individual, and I won't give away my age, Dr. Neupower, but everyone's younger, right?
That's
as we
exactly
go along,
right.
Everyone else seems to be younger. She's 24. I think she's the third student that was age 24 or younger to inspire a scholarship. So her first scholarship was awarded just a couple of weeks ago, August 1st. So I just wanted to give a tip of the hat to her, Lindsay Walter from Allegheny County. All right, Dr. Neupower, thank you so much for your time. Any final thoughts you want to share with us before we do depart?
No, great appreciation again to you and your fantastic listeners. Hopefully one of these days we'll do this in person, but until then, I'm happy to continue these discussions from time to time.
Dr. Nick Neupower, Butler County Community College, thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.